And take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And we're looking at a sermon I've titled, I Am Blessed, You Can Be Too. I Googled a friend of mine, an evangelist. I Googled his name. I was just trying to find out some more information. And you know, when a person's name goes on a Google, you not only get everything good, you get everybody's opinion that's bad, okay? And in this case, the guy's an evangelist, so obviously he has enemies, you know? And so I was reading, I thought I was going to tease him about some of them. And then I says, I wonder about myself. So I Googled Andy Bloom. Now, I'm not going to tell you all that I found, but there was one that I want to clarify. It said a radio programmer who introduced Howard Stern. That was not me, okay? I want you to know that right now. That was not me, okay? All right. When I saw that, I was popping aspirins and everything else, I think, you know, just to kind of get straightened out. All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray even at this very moment, you would rebuke any spirit that would hinder in the message going forward. Lord, whether it's a spirit of anger, jealousy, indifference, whatever, just an opposition, I pray you to rebuke that spirit. Don't allow Satan to manifest it. And may thy Son and thy Word be manifested in this service today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I am blessed, but not because of who I am. Rather, because of who God is. I am blessed, but not because I've been pastor of Central Baptist Church for 28 years. Matter of fact, today, June the 29th, I started on a Sunday as senior pastor 28 years ago today. And so it just worked out that way that this is the same day. And so I've been the senior pastor now for 28 years at Central Baptist Church. And I consider that a great blessing. I really do. That is a blessing. But as far as who I am, I can only say this, and this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised. Now, if you preach the word with any regularity, and call sin sin, call right right, you'll be despised. I'll guarantee you that. Hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's all of God. And when you begin to think that it's you, or nothing happens without you, He can humble you very quickly. Now, the first thing I want you to see today is that I am blessed because of God the Father is active in my life. The Father hath bestowed love upon me that I would be called a son of God. Now, the great thing about that is this: a church, a priest, an evangelist, a pastor, none can bestow that upon you. No one. No one this side of heaven can bestow that upon you. Only God can do that. Now, if you're looking at this passage here, because chapter and verse divisions were made by man after the Bible was translated and so forth, but if you looked at it in a paragraph way, we'd actually start in verse 29 of the previous chapter and go through the end of verse 3 in this chapter. And that makes up one paragraph. And I say that because verse 29 of the previous chapter lets us know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him. Now, or those that are born of Him do righteousness. Now, why would He say that? Well, I believe that God has given us in nature many things that testify of Him. One of the things that He has given in humanity that testifies of Him is heredity. People look the way they do, and sometimes people are bent to do certain things they do. It's a result of heredity. There are children that from birth were adopted and later would do a search, and they'd find out that there were things that were true in their heredity that is true of them years later, although they did not have the home to grow up in. And there are things of heredity that come into our lives. But, you know, I believe God gave us that as just a picture of something that is more real. When we are born from above, we immediately inherit a new nature. And that is from the One who is absolutely holy and righteous. But because we still have that old nature inside this old man, that immediately begins a war between the old nature and the new nature. It's still there. And there will be a battle with the flesh the rest of our days on this earth. So He says in our text today, behold. In other words, take very special note of this because it's very important. What matter of love? Isn't that great? Love. What matter of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Now, word love is from the Greek word agape, which is the highest form of love. It comes from God. And the only way I can love anybody with agape love is allow God to love them through me. It's the only way you can do it or anyone else can do it. But nonetheless, we do see that He has an agape love that is great for we who are sinners. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He first loved us. But what is so interesting about this is that we're not just loved by Jesus Christ. We're told here that the Father, it's the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's love that the Father bestows upon us. God the Father loves you. In John chapter 16, verse 27, that is the Gospel of John, we read this: For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved Me, that is, you have loved Jesus, and have believed that I came out from God. Remember, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son that is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And what's He declaring to us? That God the Father Himself loves you. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. The Creator of the worlds loves you and knows you by name. That's great. And He loves you more than anybody else ever would love you. Now, that this old vile man can be called one of God's children is amazing. But again, the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are very clear. But as many have received Him, not as many that are chosen, but as many as have received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, referring to the Father. You see, not of blood, that is, you're not saved and going to heaven because your parents were good Christians, and they raised you in a good Christian home, and they sent you to church, and oh, what a great good heritage that you have, therefore you're a Christian. No, that's not it. It's not because of the will of the flesh. Number one, you can't separate that old nature from you. And number two, you cannot become holy by doing the best you can and being religious. So it's not the will of the flesh. Nor is it by the will of man, man's reasoning. Man tries to devise different ways to heaven. But there's still only one gospel, and there's still only one way to heaven. There are not many roads. And in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it knew Him not. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, that's a sad commentary on mankind. Very sad commentary on man that the Creator came and they would have nothing to do with Him. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, we read this. If the world hate you, Jesus said, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Therefore, what he's saying here, they have that old nature. They may be religious, but they don't have a new nature. And those that are saved and have a new nature have quenched it so much that the old nature dominates in their life. Therefore, they will hate it when they hear people either preach or stand against worldliness or emulating the world in your daily life as well as in your religion. I mean, look how they hated the Old Testament prophets. They hated Isaiah. They said, don't preach that to us anymore. They hated Jeremiah. He said, come back to the old paths. We don't want that. They hated Ezekiel. They made fun of him. They hated Jesus. They hated Paul. They hated Peter. Listen, they all had the same attitude and been that same way. Those old fundamentalists, and that's what they were, those guys I just mentioned, those old fundamentalists, they won't change for anybody. They can't realize the age that we're living in today is different. Why would they say that? They lack understanding. The world lacks the new nature. So they do not understand righteousness. They do not understand the bent and the conviction towards righteousness. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, he says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but none of the wicked shall understand. He says, they'll be purified, cleansed of their sin, made white, the idea of presented, formed in order to serve. But they'll be tried. Oh, they'll be persecuted. They'll go through trial. They'll go through tribulation. And evidently it comes from those that don't believe in the righteousness. They have a hard time with it. Why? Because it says none of the wicked shall understand. And those that do righteousness, verse 29 of the previous chapter, is in the context of all of this that he's saying. The difference in us and this wicked, adulterous, vile generation is seen in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, too many cannot put on the new man and allow the new man to have preeminence in their life because they're rebelling against putting off the old man in their life. So they've got to come up with a religion that makes the old man preeminent. That always fools people. But at the judgment seat of Christ, those are the same people that are going to be ashamed if they're saved. The moment we were saved, the Lord in His love placed a new nature within us. We were also baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not speaking of water baptism. You don't wait till you get in the water to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The moment you receive Christ, you were also baptized by the Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit leads us to walk in paths of righteousness. Ours is not to quench the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I'm blessed because of God the Father and His love for me. But secondly, I am blessed because of Jesus Christ and His promise in verse 2. Now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We'll be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Because we now have this special position that has been given to us by God, we are the recipients of a great and glorious promise. All who are saved are adopted by God. What do we mean by adopted? Well, we go back to the Bible once again, Romans 8:23. There it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit means which is, the adoption, which is, or to wit, the redemption of our body. The Bible is letting us know, it's letting us know what adoption is. It's defining it for us. Adoption is the guarantee that once you've received Christ as your Savior, that at the rapture, you're going to be caught up and your body's going to be changed. Now, some of you have gone through an adoption. The papers were put in, the child wanted to be adopted, the parent wanted to adopt them, and all that was put in, but the day they came to live with you is not the same day you put the papers in. Okay, you put the papers in for adoption, but the adoption wasn't realized until they actually come with you. Listen, our adoption is already, the paperwork is there. Our names are written in heaven. Now we're just waiting for the day we go home. And we're fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what the adoption is about. But what is that body like? What is that body like? You know, it says we shall be like him. But what is that body like? Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. Again, the Bible tells us. So if we let the Bible tell us, that's the best way to go about it. In Revelation 22 and 8 and 9, it says this, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." Now, he used the word angel. Now, the word angel actually means messenger. Angel in the Bible is from the Greek word angelos, which we get angel. It's transliterated. But the word itself means messenger. Most often in the Bible, it does refer to a spirit being of heaven, or could be a spirit being of hell. But nonetheless, more times than not, it refers to that spirit being of heaven. However, there are various times in the Bible it refers to a human messenger. And so, here's somebody that is showing John all the beauties of heaven in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. So is it a spirit messenger or is it a human messenger? Well, verse 9 told us that we just read. The Bible tells us who he is. He says, "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets." Now, spirit angels were not prophets. They were not brethren. Okay, so it says, "I am of thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." So evidently, this is someone who is already with the Lord, and he's been given the privilege of showing John that future city of God. But his glorified body is such that the Apostle John, I mean, this guy that leaned on Jesus' breast at that Last Supper and said, "Is it I?" This one that was called loved of God. This one who was an apostle of God. This one who was the inner circle of the three. This John, it was so overwhelming even for him that he started to fall down to worship. He started to fall down to worship. What must that new body be like? What must it be like that the Lord does that for us? Tremendous, that's what it is. It's tremendous. You know, that ought to motivate us to serve the Lord. So that when we appear before him, we're not ashamed at his appearing, as 2:28 says. But we have confidence. We're looking with joy. We shall be like him, he says, for we shall see him as he is. The Bible lets us know that we will even know as we are known in heaven, yet we'll be distinctive. The body glorified as his. And that's not just a New Testament promise. Listen, from the Old Testament, those guys were looking for it too. In Psalms 17, verse 15, he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake," that is when I'm resurrected, "when I awake with thy likeness." We shall be like him. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our conversation." Now, normally when you read the word conversation in the Bible, it's talking about your manner of life, the way you live. Only in the book of Philippians, the word conversation, it'll appear once in chapter 1 and again here in chapter 3 of Philippians in verse 20 and 21. And those two times, It's looking to heaven. That's where our citizenship there. So this word, by its Greek application, is our citizenship, okay? Our conversation, our life, the life that we're looking forward to is in heaven, all right? For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Have you ever heard someone say this about this true Bible doctrine? You believe in eternal security. If secure, then you really don't have a reason to live godly. Well, you know what that tells me? They in no way understand salvation. You see, salvation is entering a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You are born of him and you inherit a new nature. And that new nature leads you to what? Righteousness. Righteousness. There will be a bent to righteousness. Now, you can and you do sin daily. But that's why Hebrews 12, 5 through 8 is in there, where it tells us that the Lord chastens and scourges those that are his. Scourge means to flog with a whip. The Lord does that to his own. My goodness, the Department of Home and Children or whatever it is got a hold of that. They would be knocking on God's door trying to talk to him about it. But that's what God does to his children. And my friend, come in. Okay. Pepperoni. All right. But now, just come back in here with us now. Now, again, when we think about this, Hebrews 12, 5 through 8 says that we are chastened of God. And what does that eighth verse say? It says, if you're without chastening, you live this way, you live fleshly, you live worldly, and the chastening of God is not upon you, you're not really saved. You're never saved to begin with. That's the Bible. Again, if the Bible defines it, that's what it is. We're saved from sin when we get saved, and one of those benefits is that we're saved from hell. But as a saved person, then he begins a work in us to conform us to Christ. Again, Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And a lot of people take that verse and say, oh, predestination. Not talking about unsaved being predestinated. He's talking about saved people. Saved people are predestinated to be conformed to his son. Therefore, that spirit within you has that urging, that bent to push you to righteousness. Where that gets interfered is that when the old nature is victorious in our inner man, in our inner being, and we allow him to have that victory, then we begin to lose. But we're still his children. So I'm blessed because in the Godhead, the Father privileges me with sonship and his love. The Son gives me the promise of eternity that I'll be like him. And then finally, I am blessed because the Holy Spirit of God purifies me. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, the Holy Spirit indwells you to lead you to do his good pleasure. Knowing that this life is only temporary. Our life is a vapor. A vapor compared to the vast expanse of eternity. And knowing that I'm going to give an account of myself to God for how I spent this life, this vaporous life. I'm going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And knowing that the greatest commandment of all generations and for all generations, Mark 12, 30 and 31, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And if you're able to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, you'll still never outlove God. Have you ever thought about that? The Lord said that was His greatest commandment. Have you always loved God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength? Then you're guilty of breaking what God said is the greatest, most important commandment He has. I'm guilty of breaking that. It means I deserved hell, so I needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. And so, we find that as the Spirit of God dwells within us when we receive Christ, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, what happens then, if you're truly saved, you must rebel against the Holy Spirit convicting you to be righteous. For John chapter 16, verse 10 said that the Holy Spirit would convict of righteousness. So if you're saved, you have to rebel against the conviction of the Holy Spirit in order not to do righteousness. And unfortunately, that's what too many of us do. Now, if this hope is a living hope, which it is, then that ought to energize the inner man to be like Him and to lay up for the future so that we'll have confidence at His appearing and not just be saved so as by fire. He says, every man that hath this hope, that word hope has the idea of an ongoing hope in the Christian's heart. Therefore, he purifies himself. The word purify has within it the Greek root word for holy. And the idea is that we consecrate ourselves. We consecrate ourselves completely to God, that we might be used as He directs, kept pure and acceptable for His use. The Old Testament priest went through various washings in order to purify the outward man for the work of priesthood. And those washings that they would do were to be symbolic of purifying the inner man. But you see, those washings required the Old Testament priest to do the work himself of washing. We're to be pure. How do I end up that way? How do I accomplish that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, finally, my beloved, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the idea is you just keep on thinking on them. Where are you going to find those things? The Word of God. Word of God. That's how you can walk in righteousness and true holiness. Keeping your mind in the Word of God. That is why in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and verse 9, we are called priests of God. You know, if you ever have a Catholic priest come up to you and say, oh, yes, I'm a priest. Well, I'm a priest, too. Good to meet you, sir. You know, they won't like that, won't agree with you. But the Bible says you're a priest if you're saved. You are a priest of God. So purify yourself because we believe He's coming again. Purification on a daily basis must be directed by the Holy Spirit, giving us understanding of the way through the Word of God, the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, is in a sense a test of whether or not we're allowing the Spirit to work through us. He says there at the very beginning of Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and the bride, speaking of the saved, say, come. They called the lost to salvation. A person that has the fullness of the Spirit seeks the lost souls of men. Those men may be men they don't like. They may be men guilty of the most evil of things. But God wants to save their souls and change them, so that He can one day say, such were some of you. But my friend, He also said in that same verse, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. My friend, I said I am blessed, and you can be too. If you're not sure that if you die today that heaven's your home, you can be blessed and have eternal life and have that promise of one day being like Him. But how do you get there? You come just as you are without one plea. Because why? His blood was shed for us. He paid the penalty in full. And you're going to either allow Him to apply His blood to your sin account and let it pay it in full, or you're going to try to make it on your own, and that way you'll end up in hell. Let Christ be your Savior. He wants to save you. Won't you come to Him? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we've asked You to move. We've delivered Your word. I was only the messenger. It was Your word. And so now I ask that You begin to do that work that only You can do to complete it. Lord, for the one that raised their hand, they're just not sure they're saved today. Lord, I pray that they'd come and let one of our counselors open the Bible and show them how they can be saved. For the Christians, Lord, that raise their hand and ask for prayer, and Lord, I do pray that You'd help them in that battle, but may they come to this altar and ask Your help and do what You'd have them to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.